साधु जाता सा सारथी जो दौरो श्री मुषाद्रिता सुरतनाथ ते शुल्क दाशिका बरद निघ्नतो नेह किं बधा सुरतनाथ ते शुल्क दाशिका बरद निघ्नतो नेह किं बधा सुरतनाथ ते शुल्क दाशिका बरद निघ्नतो नेह किं बधा कथामृता तप्त जीवना कोविधिरीरिता कल्मषापः श्रवण मंगल श्रीमदातता भूरि गृह्णन्ती जे भूरिराजना जयति तेधिकं जन्मना व्रज जयत इन्दिरा शाश्वदात्रहि जयति तेधिकं जन्मना व्रज जयत इन्दिरा शाश्वदात्रहि जयति तेधिकं जन्मना व्रज जयत इन्दिरा शाश्वदात्रहि द्वैत दृश्यता दीक्षुतावका द्वैधिता शवा तं विचिन्नते द्वैत दृश्यता दीक्षुतावका जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कान बीबीटी फाउंडर आचार्य हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री मथुरा धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। श्री मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की जय। श्री श्री राधा राधानाथ श्रीमन महाप्रभु की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिविनोदे वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्तं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिके। सो टुडे इज द सिक्स्थ चैप्टर ऑफ द ग्लोरी ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम from Padma Puran. So in this chapter, the Kumara has described how this Saptaha Yajna or the 7-day recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam should be performed. In previous 5 chapters, we discuss the glory of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Although apparently it has been mentioned that this Srimad Bhagavatam should be recited for 1 week. But actually the purpose is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. And in the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam it has been pointed out that 7 day means every day. 7 day a week. When we say that I do this, I do certain things 7 days a week. What does it mean? That I do it every day in a month. Every day throughout the year. Every day of my life. So Srimad Bhagavatam must be recited every day. Srimad Bhagavatam must be heard every day. Not only every day, all the time. Because it's the duty of a human being is to remember Krishna all the time and not forget Krishna at any moment. So all the time remembering Krishna means remembrance of Krishna is remembrance of Krishna's pastimes. And remembrance of Krishna's pastimes is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is actually Krishna's pastime. That means one must be completely absorbed in thinking about Krishna. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada named this society as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now generally, Where is the consciousness of materially motivated people? Materialistic people have their consciousness? Where? In this material world. They're thinking, constantly they're thinking about the objects of the material nature. What they're seeing, what they're hearing, what they're smelling, what they're tasting, what they're touching. That's about everything that they're constantly thinking of. That is called material consciousness. But this material consciousness binds us down to this material nature. If we remain in material consciousness, then what will happen? Not only as long as we are here, but what will happen after we die? We'll come back here because the consciousness is here. So even though at death, we may go to some other place, but we'll want to come back here. Because we go wherever our consciousness is. That is the plain and simple fact of life. One goes wherever his consciousness is. So if your consciousness is in the material nature, then even after death we'll come back to this material nature. But if our consciousness is at the lotus feet of Krishna, then what will happen? Then we'll go back to Krishna after death. The main objective is not what we do when we are alive, but the main objective of human life is to figure out where will you go, where will we go after we die. And this life is actually a preparation. Especially the human form of life is a preparation to go wherever we are ultimately meant to go. The ultimate goal of life is the lotus feet of Krishna. Antakale chamameva smaran mukta kalevaram. Antakale means at the time of death. With whatever thought one leaves his body at the time of death, he will go there. But when one remembers Krishna at the time of death, then he will go to Krishna. Now we can't say that, well, at the time of death I will remember Krishna. Now let me just fool around. Now let me just enjoy this material nature. But when the time comes, then I'll remember Krishna. But it doesn't work. At the time of death, we will think about what we had been doing all our lives. If we don't prepare ourselves during our lifetime, we are not going to remember Krishna at the time of death. Therefore, we must utilize this life to remember Krishna when we are alive, so that when we die, we can, at the time of death, we can remember Krishna. So, the sixth chapter is entitled as The Process of Saptaha Yajna. What's the meaning of Saptaha? 7 days. Sapta means, saptaha means a week. Sapta means what? 7. And aha means day. So 7 days. Saptaha yajna. Yajna means sacrifice. We must sacrifice something to come and sit for 7 days to listen Srimad Bhagavatam. Listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the sacrifice one has to make. One may say, well, I have so many things to do. I have to take care of my family. I have to run my business. But this is saying that just for 7 days you sacrifice all those big, big responsibilities that you have. And just sit down and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. And the procedure has been given here, how one must listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, so the Kumaras say, who are these Kumaras? 4. How many Kumaras are there? 4. Who are they? Shanak, Shanatan, Shanandan and Shanat Kumar. Kumara said, O Narad, now we will explain the process of performing Saptaha. Generally, this process requires wealth and the assistance of others. It needs a lot of money. Because we should not think that for our daughter's wedding we'll spend hundreds of thousands of rands. But when it comes to Bhagavad Saptah, then we won't spend anything. No, that should not be the case. Actually, for Krishna, we must utilize our wealth to the best of our ability. So it requires wealth and assistance of others. Now, one person may not have all the money, so he can actually get some people together and organize the program collectively. Of course, some people are very generous, like Nanda Kishore Das organized the Bhagavad Saptah in Bombay, and he did it himself. And his father-in-law wanted to get the credit. So, anyway, he gave him the credit also. The months of Bhadra, Ashwin, Kartik, Margashisha, Ashadha, and or Shravana, the audience will get liberation. Determine an auspicious time with the help of a good astrologer. If the Saptaha begins in the month of Bhadra, Ashwin, Kartik, Margashisha, Asadha, or Shravana, the audience will get liberation. So these are the months, you know, this is the month of Bhadra. The next month is Ashwin. Generally, the Vedic calculation of month is not in line with Western calculation. Actually, the Vedic calculation of month begins in the middle of an English month and ends at the middle of an English month. So, for example, this Bhadra will roughly begin in the middle of August and end in the middle of September. Generally, this is the month when Krishna appeared. And today is also the month of Bhadra when Vamandeva appeared. Ashwin is the next month, Kartik is the next one, Margashisha is Magh, the next month, and Shravan is the month before Bhadra. Anyway, so when one starts this Saptaha Jagya in this month, then the audience gets liberation. Even during this month, however, inauspicious periods such as Bhadra, Batipata should be avoided. With the help of enthusiastic people, one should acquire as much wealth as needed to perform a marriage ceremony. People generally spend a lot of money during the marriage ceremony, isn't it? So, actually, especially in daughter's wedding, the fathers spend, I don't say spend, they're forced to spend a lot of money. In India, people actually go bankrupt. The fathers go literally bankrupt to get daughters married. It's of course a very unfortunate system because people are so greedy nowadays that they want a lot of dowry, a lot of money. They're not happy just getting the daughter. They want everything that they can extract from the father. So that means this ceremony of Bhagavad Saptaha must be organized in a very opulent way, in a very gorgeous way. Mainly because people are generally attracted to opulence. So when something is done in a very nice way, then people become attracted. And also, for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should be prepared to spend as much as possible. Like Prabhupada always had the policy that whenever, whatever he did for Krishna, he wanted to do it first class. He built temples, huge, massive temples. Although Prabhupada started this movement practically without any money, but we see the kind of temples that Srila Prabhupada built. Like, I mean, how many temples are there in this world like this one? Everyone comes here and gets awestruck. Oh, what a beautiful temple. How did you feel when you came here, Nandakishore? So that's what happens to everyone. Like, such a beautiful temple. And we have, actually, every single temple of ISKCON is so beautiful. And the decoration, the Shringar of the deities is unique. You never see any Shringar like ISKCON deities anywhere in the world, not even in Vrindavan. So this is Prabhupada's glory. Srila Prabhupada practically, from this we can understand that Srila Prabhupada literally brought the standard of the spiritual sky down to this material platform, down to this material world. And Prabhupada could do that because Prabhupada came from the spiritual sky. Prabhupada knows what the real standard is because he just came from there. So he established that standard and he would not compromise for anything less. And Prabhupada, especially about deities, Shringar means decoration, decorating the deities. Prabhupada used to be so particular. If you saw that things were not right, then at the time of deity greeting, Prabhupada would call the pujari. And Prabhupada would chastise him. Why things were not right. Once in New Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada, during the deity greeting, he noticed that Krishna doesn't have ankle bells. Why Krishna doesn't have ankle bells? And Prabhupada didn't listen to any excuse. Once Prabhupada told me, for everything there is an excuse, but who wants to listen to your excuses? He should then graciously invite various families, including women and sudras, to hear Harikatha. One should publicly announce the event and send written invitation to Vaishnavas and other lovers of Harikirtan. One should announce in writing that for 7 days, the rare opportunity to hear the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam and to associate with saintly persons is being made available. It should be explained that if one is unable to attain for the entire period, he should come for at least one day to give blessings. So, sometimes in order to attract people, in order to make people come, we have to take a humble position. So, instead of telling that you must come for your spiritual benefit, people may become negative. So, well, it should be done very tactfully. The purpose is to bring people in, so that the nectar of Harikatha can enter through their ears into their hearts. Therefore, one should even take a humble position and tell that please come, because if you come, if you don't come and give us the blessings, then my program will be completely spoiled. My whole endeavor will be lost, wasted. So please come just to bless the occasion. So this way, a preacher should take a humble position to attract the living entity. In this way, one should humbly send invitation
to Vaishnavas and make proper arrangements for their board and lodging. The recitation of Bhagavatam should be done either in a holy place, a forest, or in one's house. It should be performed on open ground that is properly cleansed and decorated. If performed in one's house, all the household articles should be removed from the room used for the recitation. That means the room should be completely vacated to fit as many people as possible. One should start making arrangements 5 days in advance. A nice podium should be arranged and decorated with fruits, leaves, flowers, banana trees, and so forth. On the stage, one should imagine the 7 planetary systems. Proper seats should be offered to saintly persons, and there should be a nice vasasan for the speaker. It is the opinion of scholars that if the speaker faces north, then the audience should face eastward. If the speaker faces east, the audience should face north, or both can face the east. The speaker should be learned, expert, and able to explain the essence of Vedic literatures and give proper examples. He should be a renounced brahmana, a devotee of the Lord, and free from material desires. Those who are cheaters, attached to women, and who do not know the essence of religion should not be invited to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. The speaker may have a learned assistant to remove doubts whenever necessary. That is, the speaker should have an assistant. Sometimes he may want to find out, say he may not be able to remember some verse, or he may want to have some reference. So the assistant will immediately find it out from the book. Prabhupada often used to do that. Prabhupada used to ask, that what is that verse? Get that verse. Janma karma chame dibbam. So Prabhupada's secretary would open the verse, and then Prabhupada would say, read it, read the translation. And then Prabhupada would start explaining. One day before the recitation, the speaker should shave his head. He should take morning bath, chant Gayatri, perform other morning duties, and then worship Ganesha for removing any obstacles in the Saptaha Yajna. So Ganesh, what does Ganesh do? Ganesh removes the obstacles. And so sometimes the demigods are worshipped for the sake of Krishna consciousness. Just like the gopis worship Katyayani Devi to get Krishna. Similarly, devotees sometimes may worship Ganesh or Shiva. But the all objective is actually to reach Krishna. So then this demigod worship is okay. The devotee sees these demigods as devotees of the Lord. And with that objective, with that understanding, they worship the demigod. So with that, so here also Ganesh is worshipped to remove material obstacles. But also we have another understanding, that is, that Ganesh has the ability to remove the obstacles. Or Ganesh actually has the ability to give success. Ganapati is known as Siddhidata. The mantra goes like Siddhidata Ganeshaya Namaha. Siddhidata, Siddhi means success. So Ganesh gives success. And in Brahma Samhita also it has been explained, Jat Pada Pallava Jugam Vinidhaya Kumbha Dvande Pranama Samaye Saganadhi Raja Bignan bihantum alamasya jagatrayasya. So bignan means impediments, difficulties. Bihantum, he destroys or removes jagatrayasya from this three worlds. Now how does he do that? How does Ganesh has this power? That has been explained in Brahma Samhita in this verse. Jat pada pallava jugam. Pada means feet. Pallava, pada pallava, lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Ganesh has the power to give, to remove the impediment, because he is holding the lotus feet of the Lord on his head. Jat pada pallava jugam binidhaya kumbha. Now whose lotus feet Ganesh is holding? Lord Nrisimhadev. Now who is the real remover of impediments then? Lord Nrisimhadev. Therefore, we worship Nrisimhadev, we pray to Nrisimhadev. Bhakti vighna vinashaya. The one who actually removes the impediment from the path of devotion. Ganesh removes the impediment from this three world. The Bignan Bihantum Alamasya Jagat Trayasya. Jagat Trayasya. Traya means three. Three worlds. Upper, middle and lower planetary system. That means Ganesh can remove the impediments from the material planet. But on the spiritual platform, who removes the impediment? Lord Nrisimhadev. He should offer oblation to the forefathers, perform prayaschitta, and establish Lord Hari on the mandala. Thereafter, he should worship Lord Krishna by chanting proper mantras and offer 16 articles of worship. He should circumambulate the Lord and beseech Him in the following way. O most merciful Lord, I am drowning in the ocean of material world. I am very fallen and caught in the network of karma, which is like a crocodile. Please deliver me from this world. Following the procedure, one should then worship Srimad Bhagavatam with incense, ghee lamp, and so on. He should place one coconut in front of the book, pay obeisances, and offer the following prayers. O Lord Krishna, you are directly the Srimad Bhagavatam. You are Srimad Bhagavatam. I take shelter of you so I can free myself from this world. Please remove all obstacles so that this ceremony may be successfully completed. O Lord Keshava, I am your servant. Thereafter, the host should worship the speaker, give him nice cloth, and offer the following prayers. You are the personification of Sukadev and are expert in explaining the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Please reveal this knowledge to us and dispel our ignorance. Then, in a blissful mood, one should take a vow for his own good and maintain it for 7 days without fail. Now, taking vow is important because when you take vow, we actually stop our mind or force our mind not to be fickle. Otherwise, the mind is very fickle. It's always flickering. But the vows make the mind steady. To dispel all obstacles in the katha, 5 brahmanas should be selected to daily chant the 12-syllable mantra composed of names of Lord Hari. After this, the host should worship the brahmanas, the devotees, and give charity to the kirtan performers. He should offer them obeisances and, with their permission, be seated. Those people who hear the katha attentively with great faith and pure mind who have given up attachment to home, wealth, family and so on, will receive the highest benefit. The intelligent speaker will start the katha at sunrise and continue for 9 hours. Like the idea? I said, this is a sacrifice, you have to... He should recite in a sweet, medium tone, observe a 1 hour lapse at noon. There will be a break only at noon time. That means, say roughly from 6 to 12, then again start at 1 o'clock and go on till 4 o'clock. Now see, there are some more conditions. During this interim, the Vaishnavas should glorify various names of Lord Hari associated with a particular history being narrated, and there should be no idle talk. It's not that just this 1 hour break, one should go back to their gossip. And it happens, like, sometimes this gathering become a very good occasion for social get-together. Someone was telling me that this program, whenever these programs are performed or organized, often ladies come wearing their most fancy dresses and just a social gathering. Okay, but it's a serious business. Actually, during that interim period, the audience should remember those pastimes that are being described and glorify the Lord according to those pastimes. There shouldn't be any idle talk. To avoid passing stool and urine during the time of katha, one should consume only light food. If possible, one should fast for 7 days. Or subsist only on ghee or milk and happily listen to the Bhagavatam. Alternatively, one can eat once a day or subsist only on fruit. One should observe a procedure that can be followed without much difficulty. It's not that these fasting and things are not that important. The only thing is, only consideration is to reduce or minimize the bodily needs so that we can listen to Srimad Bhagavatam more attentively. But one should accept as much as he can easily handle. Like, if fasting is causing difficulties to listen, then one shouldn't fast. Eat. But don't eat too much, then what will happen? Everyone knows. If fasting disturbs one's hearing, then he should avoid it. O Narad, now listen to the principles to be observed while hearing Shaptaha. A person who is not initiated into Vaishnava mantra is not qualified to hear it. A person who wants to properly hear the Saptaha should not eat dal, honey, oil, heavy, stale or contaminated food. He should completely avoid lust, pride, greed, envy, anger, illusion, hypocrisy and so on. He should also avoid hearing criticism of the Vedas, Vaishnavas, Brahmanas, the Guru, women, the king, great personalities, or those who render service to the cow. He should also avoid contacting a woman during her periods, a mlecha, a fallen person, a Brahmana who is not initiated into Gayatri Mantra, those who are antagonistic toward a Brahmana, and those who do not accept the Vedas. He should always be clean, truthful, silent, simple, humble, merciful and generous. Even those who are poor, sick, unfortunate, childless, and desirous of liberation are qualified to hear this katha. Women who are barren, who have only one child, whose child has died, who have reached or who always suffer miscarriages, should also hear this katha. That means everybody should listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. If they hear attentively, they will attain imperishable benefit. The recitation of Bhagavatam gives the highest benefit to the human being. After observing these rules, one should perform the concluding ceremony of the Saptah. Those they are purified just by hearing the Saptaha. When the Saptaha Jagga is over, the audience should worship the book and the speaker with great devotion. The speaker should distribute prasad, tulasi leaves, and the offering garlands of the audience. Tulasi leaves and the offered garlands to the audience. Everyone should perform kirtan with mridanga and kartal and sing with beautiful voices. The jayadhani should be chanted, obeisances should be offered, conches should be blown, and food and charity should be distributed to the brahmanas and beggars. Jai Shri Shri Radha Radhanath Sriman Mahaprabhu Ki Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Shri Brahmana Dev ki. On the following day, a renounced person from the audience should recite Bhagavad Gita to create peace and remove all improprieties. If one is a householder, he should perform a sacrifice, recite shlokas from the 10th canto and offer oblation to the fire, or he should chant Gayatri Mantra with a concentrated mind and perform sacrifice. In reality, Srimad Bhagavatam is the personification of the Gayatri Mantra. A person who does not have the means to perform sacrifice should give charity to the Brahmanas and recite Vishnu Sahasranam to remove all deficiencies. This will bring him all success. Thereafter, he should feed 12 brahmanas with sweet rice, honey, and delicious foodstuffs. He should give cows and gold in charity. If he has the means, he should place the Srimad Bhagavatam on a throne made of 36 grams of gold and donate it to the spiritual master. By this, he will become free from the cycle of birth and death. This process of performing Saptaha removes all sins. If performed properly, the most auspicious Bhagavatam will bestow whatever one desires, be it dharma, artha, kama, or moksha. There is no doubt about it. The Kumaras continued, O Narad, in this way I have explained hearing Bhagavatam Saptaha. The Srimad Bhagavatam can deliver both bhoga and moksha. What more do you want to know? Suta Goswami said, O Shaunaka, after saying this, the Kumaras recited Srimad Bhagavatam for 1 week. This is most pure, dispels all sins, and is capable of granting sense enjoyment as well as liberation. While they observed all the rules and regulations, the assembly listened attentively. After this, they worshipped the personality of Godhead according to the scriptural injunction. After the recitation, jnana, vairagya, and bhakti were rejuvenated. Being young and enthusiastic, they attracted the hearts of all living entities. Seeing his desire fulfilled, Narad Muni was completely absorbed in bliss, and his hair stood up in ecstasy. Narad, who is very dear to the Lord, spoke to the Kumaras in a sweet, loving voice with folded hands. Indeed, I am very fortunate to get your mercy. Today I have attained Lord Hari, who is the dispeller of sin. O austere sages, hearing this Bhagavatam is the best religious act, as by doing so one attains Lord Krishna, who always resides in Goloka. Suta Goswami said, O Shaunaka, while the topmost Vaishnav Narad was speaking in this way, Sukadev Goswami, the best of the yogis, appeared there. He was completely satisfied within himself and looked just like a 16-year-old boy. He appeared like the full moon to bring tide in the ocean of knowledge. He was blissfully reciting Bhagavatam in a very low voice. Upon seeing Sukadev Goswami, the entire assembly stood up and offered him an elevated seat. Then Sri Narad Muni worshipped him with love and affection. When Sukadev was comfortably seated, he said, Dear one, please hear my words. O devotees who taste devotional mellows, Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit of the wish-fulfilling trees of the Vedas. It has come from my mouth and is full of nectar. This fruit has no skin or stone. It is pure nectar and is easily available only on earth. Therefore, as long as you are conscious, please drink it again and again. The great sage Vyasa compiled this Mahapuran, which describes the highest religious process and is free from all cheating propensities. It explains the absolute reality and is meant for those whose hearts are pure. It relieves one of the three miseries. If one takes shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no need for any other scripture or process. Whenever a pious soul desires to hear it, the personality of Godhead immediately appears within his heart. Srimad Bhagavatam is the crest jewel among the Puranas and the wealth of the Vaishnavas. It describes the pure knowledge dear to the Paramahamsas and illuminates the path of detachment along with bhakti, gyan and vairagya. Those who hear, read or meditate on its meaning are liberated. This nectar is not available in heaven, Sattaloka, Kailash or even Vaikuntha. This Bhagavatam is not available even in Vaikuntha, this nectar of Bhagavatam. Therefore, O fortunate listeners, please drink it again and again and never leave it. Suta Goswami said, while Sri Sukadev spoke in the midst of that assembly, Lord Hari appeared along with Prahlad, Bali, Uddhav, Arjun and other associates. Sri Narad then worshipped the Lord along with his devotees. Seeing the Lord in a blissful mood, Narad Muni gave him a nice seat and then everyone performed kirtan. Lord Shiva, Parvati and Lord Brahma came there to listen. Prahlad, who is very swift, played the kartal and Uddhava played the big cymbal. Narad Muni played on his veena. And Arjun, who is adept in ragas, sang melodiously. Indra played the mridanga, and the Kumaras shouted, Jai, Jai. Sri Sukadev Goswami moved his limbs in an ecstatic trance. In the midst of everyone, bhakti, gyan, and vairagya danced like expert dancers. Observing this, the Lord said, I am very pleased with this recitation and kirtan. All of you have controlled me by your love and affection. Therefore, you may ask some boon from me. Everyone was pleased to hear this, and with love-laden hearts, they requested, O Lord, we desire that whenever and wherever there is the recitation of the Saptaha, you kindly appear along with your associates. The Lord said, Tathastu. That means, let it be so. And then disappeared. After that, Narad Muni paid obeisances in the direction in which the Lord and his devotees departed. He offered obeisances to Sukadev Goswami and the assembled saints. Everyone was in ecstasy after drinking the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam and were free from delusion. Thereafter, everyone returned to their respective places. At that time, Sri Sukadev established Bhakti and her two sons in the Srimad Bhagavatam. By rendering service to the Bhagavatam, Lord Hari becomes fixed in the hearts of the Vaishnavas. The Srimad Bhagavatam bestows auspiciousness to those burning in misery, troubled by Maya, or drowning in an ocean of nations. Saunaka asked, O Suta Goswami, when did Sukadev recite the Bhagavatam to Parikshit, Gokarna to Dhundukari, and the Kumaras to Narad Muni? Suta Goswami replied, about 30 years after Lord Krishna's departure to his abode, on the ninth day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, Sukadev Goswami recited Bhagavatam to Parikshit. So, ninth day of the waxing period of the moon actually means the day after Radhashtami. So on that day, he recited Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit, Sukadev Goswami started to recite Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. On the ninth day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, Sukadev recited Bhagavatam to Parikshit. 200 years after that, in the month of Ashad, on the ninth day of the bright fortnight, Gokarna recited the Bhagavatam to Dhundukari. So Gokarna also recited Bhagavatam to Dhundukari. Do you all remember the story of Gokarna? We discussed that yesterday. To Dhundukari. And 30 years later, in the month of Kartik, on the ninth day of the bright fortnight, the Kumaras recited it to Narad Muni. O sinless Saunaka, I have replied to everything you have asked. Bhagavat Katha is the panacea for all problems in the Kali Yuga. All of you are saintly, therefore please drink it. Bhagavatam destroys all sins and is very dear to Lord Krishna. It increases one's devotion and is the only means to attain liberation. What is the value of serving the holy places or engaging in other processes of liberation? When the Jamadutas are sent to arrest someone with ropes, Jamraj instructs them, don't approach those who are maddened by hearing the pastimes of Lord Hari. I do not have the power to chastise them, for Vaishnavas are beyond my jurisdiction. So Jamraj cannot approach the Vaishnavas. The nectar which came from the mouth of Sukadev Goswami brings all auspiciousness to those who are attached to the poison of sense gratification. My dear friends, why wander in the forest of sense enjoyment and hear useless talks? As soon as this katha enters the ears, one is liberated. The proof is Parikshit Maharaj. Sri Sukadev Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam while in ecstasy. Anyone who recites the Bhagavatam is qualified to go to Vaikuntha. What's happening? Is qualified to go to Vaikuntha. O Shaunaka, after studying the various scriptures, I have revealed this secret to you. This is the essence of all scriptures. There is nothing superior to the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was spoken by Sukadev Goswami. For the attainment of transcendental bliss, you should always drink the Bhagavatam, which is composed of 12 cantos. Anyone who hears the Bhagavatam from the lips of a devotee with faith, devotion, and a pure heart, or recites it to the devotees, will attain the supreme goal. In the three worlds, there is nothing unattainable for him. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanande Hare. Does anybody have any question or comment? Jai Shri Shri Radha Radha Nath. Service personified is Bhakti Devi. By Bhakti Devi's mercy, one gets devotion. She is personified devotion. Yeah, because Bhakti was not established. Bhagavatam was not accessible at that time. So that's why through this pastime, the glory of Bhagavatam has been established. Like, you see, we have to understand that Krishna does different things for making certain points. Like, one can also question why Krishna didn't do it. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Why did Krishna let the demons come? Or why did Krishna create this material nature? He does it for our benefit, so that we can learn a lesson. If Krishna did everything, then no one would have learned. And no one would have even bothered to do anything. They would have said, oh, Krishna will do it. As often the Hindus say, well, if Krishna wants me to become a devotee, I'll become a devotee. Or if Krishna wants me to go to a temple, I'll go to the temple. But Krishna wants to go, but Krishna wants you to make some move. Like there's a saying that the material nature actually gives all the grains. Nature gives all the grains. But the farmer has to till the land. Right? If the farmer didn't till the land, just a little bit of endeavor the farmer has to make. It's not that the farmer that is growing the grains. Nature that's giving the grains. But nature wants that we human beings make a little endeavor. And here also, as you question, the answer is that Bhakti Devi is devotion. But she herself could not establish herself. Therefore, she needed the help of the devotees to establish her. And that devotee is Narada. How does neophyte devotees derive benefit from Srimad Bhagavatam? Whereas Bhagavatam is meant for Paramahamsas. The wonderful aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam is that whereas a Paramahamsa can relish that nectar, even a baby can also relish it. Even a child can also relish it. And that is the glory of pure devotion. Like a fruit. The fruit is presented in such a way that everybody can relish it. Isn't it? So Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the Vedas. Therefore anyone and everyone can actually enjoy or relish this fruit. It's not that the Bhagavatam is meant only for the big scholars. Do you think that Bhagavatam is meant for the big scholars only? The Paramahamsas, actually it is meant for Paramahamsas in a way that whoever listens to Bhagavatam becomes a Paramahamsa. Right? The Paramahamsas, why they are called Paramahamsas? Do you know? What is the quality of a Hamsa? Hamsa means what? Swan. Now, what is the special characteristic of a swan? The swan has a characteristic, the swan has an ability to extract milk from water. If you give swan a solution of milk and water, the swan will just take milk and leave water. Similarly, those who can just take the spiritual aspect, the spiritual thing, and leave the material. See, the material nature is a combination of matter and spirit, right? Like this table is matter, but are you? You are what? Your spirit. But your body is matter. So we can see that in the material nature there is a combination of, it's a very, you know, complex mixture of matter and spirit. Isn't it? So now the person who can separate the spirit from matter, he is called Paramahamsa. Right? So Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the Vedic conclusion. That means it's all nectar. So it has already been separated from matter. Like it is beyond the modes of material nature. Amal Puran. The other Puranas have some tinges of material influence. But Bhagavatam doesn't have any influence of the modes of material nature. So Bhagavatam has already been separated. So those who are expert in separating milk from water, those who are expert in separating spirit from matter, they relish this pure spiritual subject matter, the pure glorification of the Supreme Personality of God. But others also can hear, and when they hear attentively, then they also will become Paramahamsa. Is it? Where did you find it? Who told you? I thought it's only it's Mahabharata. Mahabharata is 100 times bigger in the heavenly planet. But here Sukadeva Goswami is saying that Bhagavatam is available only in the earth planet. Bhagavatam is not available in the heavenly planets, even in the Brahmaloka, not even in Kailash, not even in Vaikuntha. So that is the... See, now you consider how special Srimad Bhagavatam is. Do you read them carefully every day? Sure? Anyway, realize what a wonderful gift it is and try to take advantage. Hi, Griva. Oh, I see. Okay. Does anybody else have any question? Trivanga? You get some? Hearing? Insomnia. Oh, insomnia, I see. That insomnia thing I said as a joke, actually. But it works. Anyway, the insomnia part of the story is that when Kumbhakarna was killed by Lord Ramchandra, Nidra Devi, who is Nidra Devi? Nidra means sleep. Sleep personified, the goddess of sleep, went to Ramchandra and said, "My lord, Kumbhakarna was my only shelter. And now you killed him. Where shall I go? Who will be my where shall I find any shelter now? So Ramchandra then blessed Nidra Devi that wherever there will be Harikatha, wherever there will be discussion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can go there. And as far as donating Srimad Bhagavatam, it has been described here that the Bhagavatam should be given in a throne made of 36 ounces of... Oh, 36. Jagadananda listened to it very carefully. Maybe he has some plan. So a throne made of 36 grams and offer it to the spiritual master. Then one will become liberated from the bondage of material nature. We have to be careful also, who do we give? Sometimes if we give it to somebody who doesn't know the value of it, will never read it, then that will be a kind of a waste. Anyway, I mean, therefore we give Bhagavatam with price, when somebody pays the price. Because otherwise, if you give something which is very dear to you and the other person does not really put proper value to it or, you know, respect it properly, then one will feel bad. Like when you care for something so dearly and somebody, if he just treats it in a haphazard way, that's not nice. But when one pays the price, then he is putting value to it. And he will take care, make use of it properly. Okay. Yeah, you know, the question is that Gokarna went to Vaikuntha, Gokarna went to Golok, right, yeah, and Dhundukari went to Vaikuntha. See, Golok means Vrindavan, and Vaikuntha is the spiritual sky also. Both Vaikuntha and Golok Vrindavan are spiritual sky. But Golok Vrindavan is higher than Vaikuntha. And Golok Vrindavan is the place where one actually gets a chance to develop a relationship with Krishna in friendship, parental and conjugal love. Whereas in Vaikuntha, the predominant mellows are neutrality and servitorship. So here we have to understand that Gokarna was a devotee of Krishna in the mellow of friendship, parental or conjugal. Therefore he was elevated there. Whereas Dhundukari, after liberation, he developed his relationship in Dasharas. Therefore he was elevated. Okay, so I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. So we can end with a little kirtan. Huh?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Tai Gaur Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Tai Gaur Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Jai Jai Prabhu Pad Prabhu Pad Prabhu Pad Prabhu Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Prabhupada
Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Jayom Vishnupad Paramhansa Paribrajita Charja Ashtuttar Shato Shri Srimad Abhay Charanaro Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shibashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Sham Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Mathura Dham Ki Jai Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai Harinam Shankirtan Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Radhanath Shriman Mahaprabhu Ki Jai Shri Shri Vamanadev Ki Jai Shri Shri Vamanadvadasi Ki Jai Shri Vamanadev's Appearance Day Celebration Ki Jai Granthuraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Guru.
Yeah.